Joining us on the phone on Static this evening, it is so great to hear the voice of Jana from Lower Dens. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for asking.
Good to hear from you, and good to hear from Lower Dens again in 2019, Jana. It's been a while. It's been 4 years since the last record, and, you know, a lot's changed in that time, and it's so good to have the band back.
We're very happy to have this record out. We've been working on it for quite a while, honestly.
It wasn't hard to see that this is your first album under the Trump administration as well. It was sort of signposted with that first taste of the Lower Dens record. We got Young Republicans, which managed to then get itself banned from certain American radio stations. So that was an interesting way to come back, Jana.
Yeah, honestly, I wasn't expecting that reaction from the radio here. I was kind of surprised by that, but did want to lead with a political, like obviously political song. So stand by that decision.
It's amazing then how the sort of the critique of the song actually played out in real life with its lyrics, "Born without souls or blood or skin, were young Republicans." It sort of pulled no punches. I mean, was it disheartening or empowering that the song then sort of rattled people?
I guess it was disheartening. It's disheartening to know that you can't be overtly political on the radio. It's not even really, you know, it's a metaphorical song. It's not really incendiary. But I guess the political sentiment is just not welcome on radio these days. That was surprising.
You know, at the end of the day, it's amazing that people can be threatened by a pop song in 2019 as well, isn't it?
It really is. And it seems, in a lot of ways, it can be even more threatening now than it used to be, because it seems like we're kind of like at a peak time for required political correctness.
Did you feel it more than ever that it was important to draw battle lines and demonstrate Lower Dens' place in the world when you were approaching this record?
Yeah, I mean, even before, when we were still in the campaign season for the last presidential election, I was thinking a lot about how we're in a time where more than ever we need musicians and artists of all stripes to be speaking up politically for people who don't have as much of a voice, or even just to join the, you know, the chorus of voices saying we don't stand by these things and we won't stand for them. So it seems completely necessary in my mind to be using the little platform that we have to be unequivocal.
With so many people aligning themselves to dangerous ideologies, I guess it's also your chance to say, hey, we as a band have a viable alternative and ideas.
Yeah, or at least we align ourselves with people whose ideologies we think are more in line with what people actually need. And musicians, we aren't going to be at the forefront of policy or even activism most of the time, but what we are capable of is spreading the work of people who are in those fields.
And even just spreading a sense of humanity. The opening song, Galapagos, on this record has the lyrics, "You belong here. If you feel distressed, that's okay too. We'll hold you here." So it's more about love and empathy, a lot of this album, and making sure that people know that that still exists.
Right, true, because something that's happening under the political system that we're in right now is that more and more groups are being marginalized, particularly.
And obviously also the story with even the album's title is the competition refers to this rat race of capitalism and greed, which sort of goes against compassion and empathy as well, right?
Yeah, this is something that's on my mind all the time, long before the political cycle that we're in right now, but particularly with Donald Trump, kind of an icon of greed and wealth in office, it seems.
It must be hard to live in modern-day America and not feel like the government and its agencies are complicit in actively working against you. And for yourself, did you feel like there was a responsibility on your part to use your platform to fight these things in these songs?
Well, I feel like it's important for me to be visible as a trans artist. It doesn't always have a place directly in my songs. In fact, it rarely does. You know, outside of the time that we're living in, it's not like a big feature of my personality, but it has really affected my life and made me aware of how it affects other people's lives. The song I Drive is in some ways about my experience in my family as the only queer person and the only trans person in my immediate family.
But I guess you also know that you want to be visible about this stuff and transparent as well. I mean, you underwent surgery last year. I know you've written about that. So these experiences obviously are shaping you and the band and your worldview.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing that's kind of happening under the in our country in the past few years is that the political ideology on the right, through some of the news outlets, has made it so that even in individual relationships, it can be really difficult to have straightforward communication between people who are on opposite sides of the political divide. And so even within my family, it can be hard to have a conversation that really makes any sense between like myself and some of my conservative family members. And these are people who love me a lot, and I love them a lot, and we can't find even the terms that we agree on. The language has become obscured by certain news conglomerates. That shaped my life since I was a kid, you know, since I was a very young person.
Is music a good leveler? Are your family fans of your band?
Yeah, they like like my band. You know, it's hard for me to say if they really like my band or if they are like family members being polite and kind and supportive, but I think they do. And I have a couple of family members, I called them before Young Republicans came out and said, you know,
I'm strap sure in.
Yeah.
As a kid growing up in Arlington, Texas, were there bands that made you believe that it was okay to be yourself or not conform? Are you sort of passing that on now through your own band, do you feel?
That's an interesting thing. I haven't thought about that much. Yeah, I mean, some of my early favorite icons were gay artists, at the very least, or, you know, artists like David Bowie, who kind of like flirted with homosexuality or any kind of queerness. And, you know, and as much as I could, I think the community that I was in, the kind of like the churches that we went to, my family, tried to make it clear that those artists, that their lifestyles weren't accepted. But I think it was important for me, even though I didn't really know myself at the time, that there were people out there living those lives and that it was possible and that in some place somewhere it was accepted.
It must also feel good, though, to feel like you might be that provocateur for some kid somewhere in the suburbs who looks to your band.
Yeah, you know, that is, there couldn't really be anything better that could happen to me, I think, or any musician that has that kind of impact. You know, whether or not we ever find out about it, I don't think there's any kind of higher purpose for music than reaching younger people who need to know that they're not alone. And, you know, and that doesn't even have to be trans kids or queer kids, but just any teenagers or younger people need to know that their feelings are okay, that they're accepted, that there are people out there in the world who are about compassion and humanity and aren't about the rat race. So,
Jana, so much of this record is about love, but love in sort of a warm and accepting way as well. There's that breakdown on Real Thing, which says, I love you, but it's not enough. Just know there's so much more. And that feels like a pretty important message as part of this record.
Yeah, it is very important to me that a big part of our message be that compassion is essential for navigating the world in a way that bring you any kind of happiness or satisfaction.
Lower Dens never made it down to Australia on the last record, and, you know, our politics aren't much better than America, but I hope you can find a way to bring the band down here to tour the competition.
I really do, too. We've wanted to for a long time, and, you know, previously we haven't been able to figure it out, but we're hoping to this time.
Yeah, we'd love to have you down here. For now, we might have a listen to Lucky People off the record, which is perhaps the most Eurodisco-sounding song on the album.
So, I love that description. Thank you.
This is your total Giorgio Moroder moment, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
And this song also flips Absolutely. The Chris Isaak Wicked Game line, because there's a line in that song which says, I never thought I'd meet somebody like you. And now Lucky People says, I never thought I'd meet somebody like me.
Oh, yeah, that was completely intentional. Kind of like a tribute, you know. And we, you know, somebody somewhere had to clear that
and make
an arrangement, because, and which I didn't realize was going to happen. I thought, oh, this will be like a funny, like little kind of half-joking tribute to Chris Isaak, and no, you know, maybe some people will notice, but it turns out that you You have to ask Chris Isaac if you can do that.
All right, we might have a listen to Lucky People now, and it was so great to talk to you, Jana, and we'll hopefully see Lower Dens down in Australia at some point. Thanks for the chat.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.